Have you ever gotten a quote for something at your house where you kind of use this contractor dance? Kind of goes from, I think I need something done, to calling maybe multiple people, to having to come to your house and finding time to do that, to then having them come back to go over the quote, to then thinking about the quote. All of this is very confusing. It wastes tons of hours, and all of this happens before any work begins. But what if getting a heat pump was as simple as ordering takeout on Uber or DoorDash? What if the most sustainable choice was also the most convenient one? Grant Gunnison started asking these questions after a childhood spent in his family's contracting business, and later, after he was building lasers at NASA. He saw both sides of a broken system. Homeowners who were paralyzed by complexity and contractors who had to burn hours of non-revenue work.
So I've done hundreds and hundreds of sales calls in homes, and you know, people are great, but it's not the most fun activity for homeowners. It's actually not that great for salespeople. Going into someone's private space is a little uncomfortable. And then ultimately, it's a massive cost center in contracted businesses.
And in this episode, I get to talk with Grant, who is the founder of Zero Homes, about how they're completely rethinking home electrification process. That process from start to finish, from quote to getting the actual install. Their approach combines 3D modeling, utility data, and virtual consultations to compress what used to take weeks into pretty much a single hour. From heat pumps to water heaters, Zero Homes is creating a streamlined path to electrification that benefits everyone in that ecosystem. Homeowners get better information faster, the contractors focus solely on revenue-generating activities, and our climate gets the rapid transition it desperately needs.
I often say people got about 1 hour of emotional energy to throw at these problems, and unless you can get them through every single thing that they need to know in order to move forward on a project, it's going to stall out.
Welcome to The Capitalist Hippie, the podcast where we challenge the old rules of business to build something better. I'm Marco Pimentel, marketing expert, entrepreneur, and lover of bold, sustainable ideas. Every week, we dive into data-backed insights, groundbreaking ideas, and real-world strategies that help you outthink and outmaneuver the status quo. So, this is what happens when you apply space-age technology to century-old problems. Let's dive in. Grant, thank you very much for joining me. You're the founder of Zero Homes, and so it's really a company rewriting the retrofit rule book when it comes to electrification in your home and everything that it is. And so you went from building laser systems at NASA to kind of reimagining American homes go electric. So I'm excited to dive in. So you started at NASA, MIT, and then you went into family contracting business. Was that the connection to Zero Homes? Like, how did you kind of get this aha moment that you wanted to be an entrepreneur and start Zero Homes?
Thanks for having me on today. Yes, but in the reverse order of what you just said. So I grew up in a contracting business. Dad, you know, was doing new construction early age for me, and then started a retrofit gender contracting business. And I kind of just grew up in that business in a lot of ways. Saw a lot of our family friends, you know, in that space as well. And so understood a lot about the business. But, you know, and rather, I took 2 years to run that business after undergrad and like really got a face full of how difficult it is to run one of those businesses. So got to understand the pain of being an owner operator in that space. And then when I was in grad school, after that was building space lasers, as you had just mentioned, and actually realized some of the technology that we were developing in that lab could actually solve one of the biggest pain points I had in running one businesses, and said, well, you know, pretty unique point of view to have both of those perspectives. And as I looked around the ecosystem, didn't see anyone building anything that I thought could really solve some of those pain points, and said, you know, I probably ought to go do that. And there's a big opportunity here. So, you know, that was the very beginning set of insights, a couple different ways I got there. And 4 years later, we're doing the damn thing these days.
Ah, and so what was the original, I guess, like kind of thesis or what was would have been like kind of the first thing you would have told somebody about, like, I have this idea about retrofits that we can change with technology? Or what was your kind of hypothesis that you brought into the lab? Was it the business or was it the technology kind of first? Did you say, I have an idea for technology, or was it like, I have an idea for business?
Maybe the latter, just really deeply understanding how painful the customer experience is for any home improvement project. Homeowners have to invite multiple contractors over. What they're trying to do is just get some education on what they should actually do, what it should cost, who they can trust to get something done, and, you know, whether they can afford that or whether they can get financing and so on and so forth. And yeah, it's a painful process for homeowners today. They're going to spend 6 to 10 hours per project just trying to get information. And contractors are going to spend the same amount of time, non-revenue hours, traveling to people's homes, you know, educating them. And, you know, unequivocally, that is the slowest, most expensive sales process for any product, full stop. And that is just ridiculous, right? And I was the person delivering that education to folks in their homes. I've done hundreds and hundreds of sales calls in homes. And, you know, people are great, but it's not the most fun activity for homeowners. It's actually not that great for salespeople. Going into someone's private space it's a little uncomfortable. And then ultimately, it's a massive cost center in contracting businesses. And so I got to see kind of all of that pain across the board. And when I then realized there was a technical solution to eliminate that entire, you know, process, I realized what that could be for homeowners, the value it could generate for contractors, and ultimately what that could also mean then for, you know, the climate challenges in these homes as well. So I got, you know, to kind of back into that problem by just being able to solve for myself and the pain I used to have in operating those businesses, and, you know, sort of projecting that onto lots of other contractors as well. And then I got busy talking to folks in every trade to understand if they had that same problem or whether that was just unique to the business that I had run.
Yeah, and that's obviously super fascinating and makes a ton of sense. You're solving a problem, a pain point for the customer first, and then, you know, you kind of figure that out with technology. And we're talking about how do you electrify a house? How do you update their HVAC systems? How do you put in heat pumps from other sources? So we'll talk about kind of what the market needs to do there and all the changes that are happening there. But my assumption always was that it's the way it is, because every home is different. Every system was maybe different. It was set up always different. So you just needed to do that. How did you kind of think through that to be like, yeah, but we can still solve that? Or was that kind of like one of the big major kind of issues to solve?
Yeah, I think that was probably on the top of the list for risks in the business. Can we take the bespoke and make it standard, right? And saying, well, yeah, every home is different, but is there a way for us to provide a standard process for folks to go through that we can, you know, abstract away the uniqueness of every home? And that means you need to be able to handle all of that uniqueness in order to make that simple for folks, right?
So what Grant's describing here is one of the quiet superpowers behind real climate breakthroughs. It's taking this complexity and turning it into systems. When everyone else is handcrafting solutions, the smartest founders I find look for repeatable structure. If you're working on areas that are hard to decarbonize, this is your playbook. Abstract away the variables, then build systems that handle those exceptions.
That was really the first task, is saying, can we collect all that information, all the information we need from a very broad set of homes so that we can address all of them without having to have a unique bespoke process or product for every home? Yeah, really, really critical thing to de-risk early on in the business.
So to take a 1,000-foot view just on the market and the customer issue that you were trying to solve when you went to begin this, and, you know, we'll talk about the funding and how you kind of, what was the first kind of prototypes and how you've kind of evolved in the technology that you built. But 1,000-foot view, what's the issue and what's the market? You know, you see and hear about people wanting heat pumps and electrifying their houses. We need to electrify pretty much everything. What's the problems that people encounter, and what's the kind of standard right now?
Maybe I'll take it up to the 10,000-foot view for one second, which is just to say that The reason I started this business was that I wanted to go solve one of the grand challenges. You know, I think throughout my whole career, I've always just been interested in really hard, you know, next to impossible problems. And for me, trying to solve the climate problem, you know, what is 20% of emissions in the U.S. in single family homes is one of those challenges. And that, you know, once you understand what it takes to retrofit one home and solve that for a single house, thinking about doing that for 60 or 80 million single family homes, you just go, holy Lord. It's quite an ambitious problem. And so that for me was very exciting. I also realized that the customer experience problem in this space was very real, but the pain was very latent, much like you said. It's like, well, I just kind of accepted that as how it is, right? So there's not people like shouting from the rooftops, oh, I need a better experience. There's a lot of people with their heads down kind of moping, going, ah, damn, I guess I gotta do this again, right? And so that problem is not in the forefront for a lot of people. It's sort of in the background and just saying, yeah, we need to solve this problem. But a lot of, you know, what has kept the ecosystem with our feet in concrete is ultimately this piece of the pie. And so I sort of realized pretty quickly, well, if you can solve this component of it, you actually can then solve everything else. And so we've been really attacking the customer experience and basically saying, look, if we can solve the customer experience piece, it opens up the opportunity to actually go solve the problems we care about. But fully well realizing that the problem that homeowners care about is not the climate problem in their home, right? Almost no one comes to us and saying, hey, I have a massive climate problem in my home. Can you help me solve that? Like, I don't know if I've ever heard that from anybody, right? They have a long list of many other problems that we help them solve on the way towards the goal that we have. But we're addressing a totally different set of concerns for folks that are a little less ethereal and a little bit more like right in their face.
Yeah. But you would, I know that the problem of the experience might not be in the forefront, but it might also just be in their just the way that they think about the process. So like if I think about my home, we did a big renovation almost 7 years ago. We didn't do solar, although we have like a flat roof and we probably should have done it. And I've been wanting to like look into it. And I have a podcast on climate solutions and I don't, you know, I haven't done it, but in my mind it is like, I got to find two or three people. They got to come to my house. They got to be there. They got to measure the roof. We got to kind of look through the utilities, how it's going to be, how much is it going to cost? And you're right. Like if that could be just done through a drone and a software and an app, you know, that sounds great. Or even just use satellite imagery and they know the size of my roof. Right. So I think it does weigh on people in the minds of setting up that initial, and then it just causes kind of delay.
And that's where progress goes to die, you know, to just say it directly. And that people will go spend an hour to get educated, and then they realize how much work they're going to need to put into getting through the entire process. And they go, oh, no, I'm not. Sorry, I got soccer practice and my buddy's wedding and, you know, whatever, the 100 other things to do. I often say people got about 1 hour of emotional energy to throw at these problems. And unless you can get them through every single thing that they need to know in order to move forward on a project, it's going to stall out. Unless people are very motivated. And that's typically when they have a broken appliance and they have like a high urgency comfort issue or something like that. But that is often, you know, not the folks that we're talking to, at least at this point.
Yeah. And so when you're talking about retrofitting homes and electrification and solving these, like, are you talking about all the different type of systems in the house that, you know, that get touched through electricity or that can be switched over to electricity? Like, what are the, you know, in layman's terms, what are the things that you guys touch on the home?
Yeah. So we do, I think, 6 or 7 projects, if I can count correctly. Heating and cooling. So heat pumps, water heating, electrical upgrades. We'll do some weatherization. We'll help folks with ranges and or, you know, gas dryers. So really all the fuel switching plus in some of the efficiency stuff. So weatherization, air sealing, we've done some windows. Specifically, we actually don't do solar. There's a robust industry for that. We have a kind of comparable product in helping virtualize the sales process to what folks use in the solar industry. So we're not trying to compete with those folks. Maybe over time we will also, bring batteries into the fold, but the way that we can really help folks is streamlining all the products that they would purchase for inside of the house.
Yeah. So what was your first step then after you kind of said, we got to solve this problem? How did you get funding? Did you go into incubator a lot? Like what did you do to kind of get started to build out? Because you built technology to solve this. So what was that experience like and what did you do?
Well, you know, very uniquely, I think what I found to be the required solution was something that I could do myself. Having run a general contracting business, I've worked with a lot of subcontractors. So I built a small subcontractor network. I've sold, you know, hundreds of projects to homeowners. And I knew what the technology was that we needed to build. And we were already building it in our lab. So I actually just took that and put it on a phone and did it myself. And so I had to do three things. But for 18 months, it was just me. I basically burned my life savings into trying to prove out the core thesis of the business. And, you know, at the very beginning, I was mailing people phones. You know, it was like very, very funny, like straight out of the Netflix model. I probably did that about 150 times. And actually, the funny story about that, the very first one I ever mailed to someone got stolen in the mail. And, you know, at the time, poor grad student, I didn't have a lot of money. So losing an $1,100 phone was really kind of like the end of the world for me. I almost didn't try it again.
From my experience, most founders start with like a deck. But Grant, he started with evidence. He shipped phones and he validated his core assumptions. By proving his thesis in the wild before chasing capital, he flipped the usual order of operations that you typically see. When you're tackling a market this massive, investors don't just want your vision, they want to see traction. And in climate tech, traction often begins with pilots and proof points well before the big checks come in.
For about 18 months, I built our first product. I did, you know, serve about 100, 150 homeowners. And then I sold a couple hundred grand worth of projects and delivered them with a small subcontractor network and really proved to myself that we could capture all the data that we needed. At the time, I was doing a huge amount of heavy lifting manually in that process. And then we could be successful in the field. And so once I had proven out all the core components of that, then I went and raised some money. But, you know, the first 18 months, it was just me sitting in my grindstone trying to make it happen.
Yeah, roll up your sleeves and just kind of do it as an entrepreneur and a founder to build that. And what was the first round of funding for? Like, was that to start scaling it or was it to start buying more phones to give to others to try? What was it for?
It was to stop shipping phones to people, right? So, you know, the MVP that I had built still required a huge amount of manual processing and whatnot. So we built an app that was downloadable. We improved the data processing components of that and then built out a team that could actually deliver, you know, work consistently for homeowners. And, you know, that took us quite a long way. We, you know, have now delivered hundreds of homes of projects and, you know, started to get into meaningful seven figures of revenue. The other thing too is actually proving to the world that what we said we could do, we could actually do. So we went through two separate third-party certifications, both in the data collection process for the app and then separately in turning that data into valuable information that you could design a solution from. Or, you know, specifically in HVAC, what's called a manual J, or helping to size, you know, heat pump systems. And so that took us about a year to get through both of those certifications and can really stand behind, I think, a lot of that now, saying, you know, we build technology that really does work and it is a streamlined process for people to get through, you know, really the purchasing decisions.
So how does it work from a customer standpoint? So you decided to work directly with a customer and then work with subcontractors to deliver the project, which is, you know, a bit different sometimes than just being the software and technology company. So how does it work from a customer experience now when they connect with Zero Homes?
Yeah, I mean, it's worth noting that we are building software for homeowners, which is very counterposition to basically every other technology company in the space, which is building software for contractors, right? And our perspective on that ultimately is twofold. One is, if you want to solve for the homeowner and do that really, really well, you need to understand their problems deeply. You need to have a relationship and hear their pain and then continue to build a better product. And we didn't feel as though we could do that if we were handing our software to contractors and do it as fast and do it with as high of quality. So that's a big piece of that. And then separately, our business model is a marketplace, right? And that we are ultimately helping a homeowner figure out what they want to buy. We're helping them transact, and then we're matching them with a contractor that can deliver that work. And that, again, then sort of mandates that we are delivering the solution for the homeowner. And so for both of those reasons, we really are the front door for folks and getting their projects done. And for contractors, we're a steady stream of highly qualified, well-designed projects that they can get work delivered to them at good margins. And so we're really having to solve for both parties, which I would add again is actually a much higher bar than actually just helping a homeowner get a sale done. We have to set up the contractor for success in the field. And that comes with, you know, a totally different set of requirements to help them be successful. All to say, to answer your direct question of, you know, what does it look like for a homeowner, folks can reach out to us on our website. They often go through partners. We run utilities, city programs, or we run other people's technology for their marketplaces. And we get inbound through a number of different partners. All to say, what they'll end up doing is getting pushed to our app. It takes 15 to 25 minutes to go through the different tasks in that. Folks will take photos. They'll do a video scan of their house, which we use to create a 3D model of their home. And then they can authorize their utility bills to get pulled, and we can like calibrate that model so we know exactly what the performance of it looks like. And then we can design solutions from there. And so 15 to 25 minutes on the phone, then you'll jump on with one of our advisors for probably another 30 to 45 minutes, and you'll go through a live design. We'll pull up your floor plan. We'll actually talk you through what different solutions may look like. We can price those solutions out for you so you can get an idea of different options that you can move forward with. And the goal is by the end of that call, you have something you could, you know, look at as a homeowner and say, okay, well, I actually really want that design. It looks like, you know, the core price is X dollars, and maybe there's a couple of options on top of that, and you can hit a buy button. And so in about 1 hour of your time, you can actually get all the way through the purchasing process for what typically would take you maybe 10 hours.
Wow. And I guess for the homeowner as well, and I guess for you as someone delivering the work and then working with subcontractors, you just have more data. You have a system that's probably a little bit easier to follow. Like for a subcontractor working with Zero Homes, they're probably pretty excited because you've captured all this information. You know, that means that they're not having to do all that other work as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of the hardest things for us, or for me when I was running my dad's business, was that we had so many cost centers in this business. The core revenue generating activities being in the field delivering a project for a homeowner. It's not doing marketing and sales or equipment ordering or warehousing or paperwork or working capital or, you know, or right? The list is very, very long. Our value proposition to our contractors we work with is we want to focus all of your time on revenue generating activities and help you go help more people, right? And not focus on all of the other cost centers in your business. And so it's a really great relationship we have with our subcontractors in that, you know, we are going to deliver equipment directly to them. We're going to help them schedule with the homeowner. We're going to set them up for success by getting them all the information they need. And then we're also going to help them with quality checks and a job closeout process at the end to reduce callbacks and truck rolls on the back end of that. And so we're really trying to wrap them in a bunch of process and enable them to be really successful in the field. And that way they can have more profitable, higher revenue generating businesses and reduce the complexity of managing all of that. And, you know, it's a win-win for them and the homeowner and frankly us. So it's a good relationship all around.
Yeah. And then from your side of view, you have to be on top of customer acquisition. And so my understanding is that there is a lot of customers that do need work and there's not as much availability. We have a good friend that's helps a lot of the franchise businesses kind of all over North America. And he often mentions is that there's not as much of a lead problem. There's much more of a kind of employee problem. There's not enough people to do the work. Is that something that you feel or is similar, or are you really focused on trying to find the customers for Zero Homes to be able to get the leads and get those customers converted?
Yeah. So we don't do any outbound marketing. Our real strategy is to partner with other folks that can get us in touch with homeowners. And, you know, that strategy's worked pretty effectively for us. And so, you know, we're going to continue to operate that way. And so all just to say, leads aren't a core challenge for us. From a homeowner's perspective, though, I would say one of their biggest challenges is who can they trust to get the work done at a fair price? That's a really hard question to answer as a homeowner, because you go to Google and you say, you know, HVAC contractor near me, and like 400 names pop up. They go, oh no, you know, it's very overwhelming very quickly.
So what's slowing adoption isn't resistance, it's really uncertainty. When homeowners face decision paralysis, they default to nothing, inaction. Not because they don't want solutions, but because the path forward isn't really clear. Zero Homes is building a trust layer, removes the uncertainty from the equation, and that is really the difference between theoretical adoption and actual implementation at scale.
Yeah, we're really trying to lower the barrier to entry on that, giving people a consistently high quality set of information to make good decisions about what to do in their home, and then doing the matchmaking for them with folks that we've vetted so they don't have to get overwhelmed by, you know, looking at Google or whatnot.
Once a job is done, is the app able to kind of continue to provide benefit to the customers afterwards and kind of be that app that they just grab whenever they need something done?
Yeah, so today it's really built as a data collection tool. There's definitely some plans to build out that ecosystem in the app. But for a homeowner that's done one project with us or gone through what we call an assessment, they can call us up for any of the other projects that we do. They don't have to go through the assessment process again. We can just send them quotes. I mean, it's almost instant. And so they go, hey, great, I'd love to get a water heater quote or weatherization or what have you. And then the sales process actually feels magical, right? They're like, oh, crap, I want to buy this thing. Oh, great, here's a price for it. You know, and there's no real back and forth, which is really amazing. And so we definitely have lofty goals on how we can sort of build out an ecosystem to do exactly what you just said, and that folks can come back to get help on really anything, whether it's they have a problem and they need to hit, you know, we've talked about putting a Mayday button in the app and it's like, oh, no, like something's broken. I need urgent help. Or, hey, I have a little bit more of a structured project I want help accomplishing. Great. Like, let's help people throughout the entire life cycle of these problems.
I'm curious, too. Like, there's maintenance as well. And yearly or every couple of years, you get your systems always checked and that type of thing. In that type of scenario, do they go to Zero Homes or do they go to the subcontractor that they were working with?
So the benefit for homeowners coming directly to us is that, of course, we have many people in network. While the contractor that we had deliver the one project to them for will provide a year of warranty, and then we provide an umbrella warranty on top of that. If they contact us, we can get someone there faster, probably, if they were to just call the one person, because we have many folks in network. So we do want to have a relationship with the homeowners and maintain that over time and help, you know, build out an ecosystem for them and make it easier for them to get many projects done. So typically they're calling us. And of course, I'm sure they have, you know, their subcontractors' numbers and the like. So some may just directly contact those folks.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you have leads coming in through partners, like you mentioned, like utilities and things like that, or other marketplaces that are able to send leads to you. How did you, you know, you had this technology, you built this app, you got some funding, you built out your team. My guess is that did you kind of concentrate on one area of the U.S. and said, we're going to just kind of be present in X city and then start scaling kind of across? Because at the end of the day, if you're working with subcontractor networks, my understanding on your business model would just be that you can really grow nationally pretty quick. Like, I guess, how did you kind of go to market, and what are you going to be doing over the next kind of few years to scale that?
Yeah. So you're right in that there's some geographical specificity with partners, right? A utility has a certain delivery area, you know, 1 mile outside of that, they have no relationship with those folks. So, you know, we have, I think, 7, maybe 8 different channel partners today of all shapes and sizes. And those are geographically distributed. And so, you know, we have folks in 4 different states at the moment, and some others that are going to take us into many more states. And so the challenge, of course, is building supply so that we can deliver projects to folks. Our technology has no geographical limits. We can work with someone anywhere. We don't need to go to their home. And so our team will remain in Colorado here. And it's really a fortunate thing. We can talk to someone in Florida and Oregon on the same day. Of course, we need to be able to handle the different climates and, you know, tailor our solutions to those things as well. So it's a little bit of a complexity burden we need to bear. But ultimately, you just have to have supply. And so, you know, we have a person on staff, soon to be a larger team of people that will be onboarding, you know, lots of folks into the network so that we can deliver, you know, in many, many geographies.
So scale really is find additional channel partners that will scale then the leads, the ability to actually be able to service those customers and have the supply and the ability to kind of take on these projects is really a kind of a technology channel partner and people, a people problem.
Yeah, I think that that's ultimately it. The sort of remarkable thing, though, is that you don't need that many contractors in order to really scale, right? We want to be delivering a pretty steady stream of projects to our subs, not saying, hey, you'll get one project every 6 months, but rather you're going to get one or maybe a couple projects a week. And so that means, you know, one of our partners might do $1 million or more in revenue with us a year. And, you know, that's obviously a huge win for them. It's a huge win for us. And we want to help these guys grow their businesses. You know, I mean, that's a big piece of it. And so, you know, we're not going to measure our contractor networks probably in the thousands. It'll be, you know, probably in the low hundreds, at least for the next few years.
Yeah. And are you in a stage of funding now, or is the kind of your model work towards kind of revenue and profitability that you can kind of be self-sustaining in terms of trying to grow and get into those new markets?
Yeah, so we'll continue to raise money. We're in the middle of a financing at the moment. And really the reason for that is the goal we have is very ambitious. You know, we actually want to go be the front door for homeowners to go get these projects done in their home and help us solve the climate problem, right? And that means you got to go fast. You know, the business is not going to throw off enough cash for us to grow at the rate that we want. We need some external fuel to do that. That being said, you know, we are, I don't know, I mean, maybe going to be, I mean, we could probably be profitable by the end of the year. And that's a really cool, that's an awesome accomplishment for us as well. And so I think we'll have the choice to grow at the speed that we want. And I think also just continue to deliver excellence for folks. I mean, one of the things we haven't talked about beyond innovating on the customer experience is actually the cost implications of that. And our service is not a cost plus service. We actually operate typically at a discount to your average contractor. So homeowners get a better customer experience and they tend to save money working with us than working with other folks as well. Part of that is technical, you know, innovation. But it's also a disposition that we can run our business more efficiently and therefore not need to charge as much to get the work done.
And my understanding, and maybe this is where the channel partners come in, is that obviously there's a large incentive for people to move towards electrification in the home, obviously for climate reasons, but also for, you know, other reasons in terms of, you know, heating and cooling your house. It's more efficient. It's better for utilities. Utilities want people to have batteries in their houses so that they can, you know, share energy kind of across. It seems like a bit of their kind of future planning. So I'm assuming the market projections of customers wanting to do this is really strong.
Yeah, it's grown a lot. I think, you know, I don't know what the CAGR is or, you know, annual compounded growth rate, but, you know, the entire market, every time I see some market statistics, heat pumps are gaining market share, as are many of the other all-electric appliances in homes. And that's great news. You know, it's not just about the climate story, though. You know, I think we live in a capitalist, you know, country, and often it's about dollars and cents. You know, the reason why a lot of utilities are really interested in this is that they have positive ROI. In that, especially all the all-electric utilities, they're trying to steal load from the gas guys. They want to sell more kilowatt hours, right? Which means they want more all-electric appliances on the grid. Now, of course, they do care when those kilowatt hours are used and whatnot. They have a grid to manage. But the important thing there is that we're totally aligned in the opportunity to go electrify these homes, and that's great. And then for homeowners, every one of these appliances is just higher performing in one or many ways, right? Heat pumps use less energy. They deliver a more comfortable, consistent temperature in your house. You know, water heaters just save money. Induction ranges just heat your water a lot faster, like shockingly fast. You know, you can boil water in a minute. You know, I mean, it's amazing. You know, the all-in-one heat pump dryers are awesome. There's no more changing clothes over and whatnot.
I really love this. When climate-aligned choices become the superior option on performance alone, we pretty much move beyond that motivation gap. The same pattern happened with EVs. People buy them for the instant torque, the quiet ride, not really the carbon savings. The businesses that understand this are selling a better product that just happens to be better for the planet.
There's a much better set of products out there than the incumbent products. And we're really riding that wave, the innovation wave in the product space. We're just helping folks get better access to getting those products ultimately.
Yeah. And I always kind of say this about electric cars, right? Like you don't really, I have a Volvo plug-in electric and it about 70 kilometers range. And anytime it switches over, which is very rare, I'm like disappointed because it just drives differently. It sounds differently. It's just like batteries, it's just better. It's just a better driving experience in my opinion. And that's kind of what the selling feature for the homeowners tend to be as well. And so you can understand that. Now you're collecting a lot of data. You're able to make the customer experience way better as well, but there is a cost factor. So it's great that this costs less for consumers, but it typically does cost money to switch these things over. There has been lots of rebates in this space as well, and utilities are offering that. Do you standardize that as well for the customers and help doing that, just because you're able to capture data and you know you're really a technology company first too?
Yeah. At great peril, we do this, right? Unfortunately, there's not a standardized rebate structure across all these entities, and then naturally, you know, there's pools of dollars in lots of different types of entities. So it could be a city, it could be a county, a utility, a state, a nonprofit, the federal government. The incentives come from all over the place. And unfortunately, they all sort of design them in their own unique way. So that creates a huge amount of complication in delivering those rebates to folks. Now, I will say we go to great lengths to make that easy and design the systems that are best for the home, solve the homeowner's problem, and then also qualify for the rebates. And importantly, in that order, we don't want to design for the rebates and then go, well, you know, you should just take this because it's going to capture XYZ rebate. That's not going to be a great long-term solution. But all just to say that we do the heavy lifting of doing our best to make sure that the solutions qualify. And then we do the paperwork, you know, so people, to the extent that they don't have to, don't have to do that. And that's not always the case. Sometimes there are rebates that they need to go direct to the homeowner, but when we can get them done, we do.
What's your kind of goal over the next kind of few years as you think about just scale and taking this technology and getting into more homes? I know you want to tackle the large 60 to 80 million homes that need to get done. What does the next kind of few years look like?
I think we've proven out the core components of the business, both the technology front, the delivery mechanisms, the go-to-market approach. And we're really at a fun inflection point. We've been growing rapidly over the past year, and the goal is to continue to grow at that pace. And so, you know, in 12 months, we'll probably be in at least 10 geographies. We're currently in 4 or maybe 5 and, you know, going to try to continue to be growing at a pretty torrid pace. So, you know, in 5 years, hopefully we're doing thousands and thousands of projects per year and really helping, you know, homeowners across the country get these projects done. And, you know, again, the goal is to scale this as much as possible. That won't be Zero always doing all of the installs. We want to enable the rest of the ecosystem with the tooling that we built to help them go faster. And that's on the horizon for us as well, but that's probably not until maybe late 27 or 28.
Zero Homes isn't just streamlining home electrification. They're solving the fundamental problem that really keeps us from making progress on our climate goals, which I think is friction. By focusing on the homeowner experience first, Grant and his team have created something pretty remarkable. It's a system where everyone essentially wins. The homeowner gets better information and lower prices. Contractors get pre-qualified leads and can focus on really what they do best. And our climate benefits as well from the accelerated electrification of our homes. What really strikes me most about this conversation is how solving for customer experience unlocked everything else. By removing the friction that kept people stuck, Zero Homes is tackling one of our biggest climate challenges, one seamless renovation at a time. Thanks for listening to The Capitalist Hippie. If you enjoy this podcast, please follow us. That's how we know that we're doing well. And share with somebody else that's also tackling their next big project. Talk to you soon.